Our study of Exodus, we are in chapter 28, and we're going to pick up with verse 39. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the miter of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework.
Now, where the King James Version says miter, and we told you definition is tiara, which most people, when you think of tiara, you think of something that a woman wears, a beauty queen, this type thing, on their head. And so I don't want you to get that connotation of tiara. This is fabric, okay? It was being more like a turban that you wear, but more very elaborate. And so and the garment and this turban, or mitre if you want to use that word, were made from white linen. Now, I believe that's the significance because of righteousness, okay? And the garment was embroidered. And here again, where they talk about the belt, I believe it's probably a more of a sash. It's a fabric belt, if I were to use that word, because it is also embroidered, okay? And so all this is, these things are made of white linen and then very elaborately embroidered, okay? Very beautiful to look at.
And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, for glory and for beauty.
Now think about this. The garments, the sashes, the caps, made for the priests, Aaron's sons, their attire was significant. It was for beauty and honor. We're attired with the Lord Jesus Christ for beauty, for honor. You understand? It has nothing to do with flesh. It has everything to do with Him. And when we call, when we walk in the Spirit, people see the beauty. When we walk in the Spirit, people see the honor. I didn't say everybody appreciated it, but they see it. Do you understand? Why? Because we are distinctly different. And so that distinction was not just different to be different, but it's different for beauty. Mm-hmm. It's different for honor. Okay?
And
I believe ministers should be distinctly different in their dress, not just to blend in, but to set an example. It's for beauty. It's for honor. And you don't have to be beautiful. Don't misunderstand me. You know, we'd be in trouble if that were the case. But the bottom line is, you're distinctly different because we should be pointing to Jesus. And people should be seeing Jesus in us.
And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and thou shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office.
See, God covers all the bases here. So the garments are made. It says Moses put them on. I'm sure Aaron would have had some assistance, you know, in getting everything in place. But to dedicate them and consecrate them for the Lord's service. Now, hear those two words. We're giving you to the Lord for the Lord's service. What are we dedicated and consecrated for? The Lord's service. Well, if I'm in the service of the Lord, I'm not in the service of the world. I'm not serving the world, but serving the Lord. And then he gets detailed down to the linen underwear and tells you how those underwear are supposed to be made. They go down to the thigh. Why? Because he did not want people to see their nakedness. You understand, they didn't wear Western attire. And if they ascended up steps or anything, wearing the garment, like a dress, if you will, then they could expose themselves. And God says, I don't want that to take place. God is not wanting us to expose ourselves. I'll let you think about that.
Hmm. Verse 42, 3. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons, and they come, and when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die, it shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him.
Now, there's something we need to point out here, is they wore this attire when they ministered before the Lord, mm-hmm. or when they served before the Lord. Now, they had what military calls sectional duties, okay? It's not that that same priest was there every day. They had sectional duty. He may be on. Remember, it was Zechariah, John the Baptist's daddy. It was his section. It was his time to burn incense. And when his duty ended, forever how many days that may be, then he went home. Well, you're not wearing that attire just in common life, but when you go before the Lord, you have to be properly attired. You follow me? You know, okay. It's not like the high priest is wearing this elaborate garment every day, or it's not like these priests are wearing these elaborate garments every day. But when they're serving the Lord, they'd better have the flesh covered. When we're serving the Lord, we'd better have the flesh covered.
Amen. Chapter 29. This chapter details the procedure for consecrating the priest and proper protocol for offering sacrifices. And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil, of wheaten flour shalt thou make them. And thou shalt put them into one basket and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams.
To consecrate the priest, there's more to the priest being consecrated than just putting on the clothes. Now, she was reading that. I've never thought about this before, but this just dropped on the inside of me. They were not in a position to start ministering for the Lord until they were properly clothed and then consecrated. And I believe there's a lot of people that the reason they haven't been set apart to be ministering before the Lord is that they're not properly clothed yet. And you have to get clothed right with Jesus. And I'm not talking about just saying Jesus is my Savior. I'm talking about to where we're depicting the character of Christ. We get clothed right. And when we get these things right, when we prove faithful in the little, then he can consecrate us to where we can actually be good representatives for the Lord by ministering to the Lord. I've seen a lot of preachers that I wouldn't want to follow to go to heaven because I would be afraid they wouldn't get me there. Remember the Pharisees? Jesus told the people, he said, you know, you can follow their teaching, but don't you follow them. There's a lot to it. And so there was a protocol. After they're properly clothed and all this, there's a protocol that they have to go through with these sacrifices, with the bull, the rams, the unleavened bread. And here's the thing, I was thinking about that unleavened bread. When you're ministering, when you're giving that to the Lord and you're burning that sacrifice to the Lord, it could not have leaven in it. The bread could not have leaven in it. And I thought, why? Because leaven works. Everything with the Lord is by faith,
yeah,
not by works. Mm. So you keep your works out of it. Okay?
Okay. That's excellent. Okay, verse 4. And Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall wash them with water. And thou shalt take the garments, and put upon Aaron the coat, and the robe of the ephod, and the breastplate, and gird them with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. Then thou shalt take the anointing oil, and pour it upon his head, and anoint him.
All right, now note this. They're to be brought to the door of the tabernacle. Their bodies had to be washed, cleansed, okay? Washing of the water by the word, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, after the bodies are washed, they put on a priestly attire, and then... If we deal with Aaron, obviously his attire is totally different than his son's attire, but each one was to put on the proper attire for himself. And this included the mitre, the headdress, tiara, however you want to say that. And even the priest had what's called bonnets, and they had a head covering to go before the Lord. They had to cover their head to submit to the Lord. You understand? Jesus had not yet come as the head. Now, for the New Testament believer, we men do not cover their head because Jesus is the head of man. God's the head of Jesus. Jesus is the head of man, and then the husband's the head of the wife. And so where the wife is covering her head in respect to her authority, the man is to keep his head uncovered in respect to his authority. Man is made in the image of God. That's a whole teaching in and of itself, okay? But they had all this attire. Then Moses was to pour this special ingredient, anointing oil, on them. Okay, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit about anointing here. But if you read Psalm 133, if you want to read Psalm 133, you got that.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually referring back to when Moses poured the oil on Aaron to set him apart.
I'm in verse 2. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments.
And so he didn't just take and put a little oil, rub it on his head like you see today.
Mm-hmm.
No, he poured that oil on him to where it went from his head to his feet. He's set apart. His thinking set apart. His walking set apart. His actions are set apart. And we're going to see this a little later on, okay? Now, what that oil did in the Old Testament, that special ingredient oil, they used that to set that person apart, okay? That's why that oil could not be duplicated. Note this, it said it could not be put on man's flesh. You understand? And anybody who duplicated that, the ingredients of that, would be killed.
Mm-hmm.
That is pointing to the Holy Spirit. Today, people are not anointed with a special oil to Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of that. And when you see where we use oil, like in James 5, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil. What do? You set that person apart for healing. So anointing is not goosebumps and running and shouting and spitting cotton and flinging your hands and going all this type of stuff that people call anointing. A person, there's a difference between anointing and inspiration. When a person is set apart, Aaron was set apart one time. Those priests were set apart one time. From that day forward, they are anointed for a particular purpose. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
And so the Holy Spirit, when He sets us apart, He sets us apart. We're set apart. But then there's time, the inspiration of God comes on. You think about even your Old Testament prophets. They didn't go around every day prophesying like people do today. When the Spirit of the Lord came on them,
yeah. They
prophesied. It didn't say when they were anointed. They were already anointed. They were already set apart. What did God tell Jeremiah? From your mother's womb I had you set apart to be a prophet. You with me? So anointing sets a person apart. That's what anointing is. Inspiration is when God is speaking to you to do a particular thing. And you minister by the inspiration of God. And so if you want the real effect, get an anointed person who is inspired by God. You with me? And I just say that this word anointing is so abused. It's used just so frivolously. I'm as anointed in the middle of the night as I am on Sunday morning. But I can promise you that I'm not as inspired. You understand? When God called me and set me apart, He set me apart. When God calls you and sets you apart, you are set apart. You think about this with Saul. Samuel poured that anointing oil on Saul. Samuel, by the ordination of God, set Saul apart to be king over Israel. But Saul didn't obey God. And there came a time when the Spirit of God left him.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel goes, anoints David to be king over Israel, but Saul's still king. And David has enough insight to understand, and he says this on more than one occasion, God forbid that I touch His anointed. Saul wasn't inspired, but he was still set apart to be king.
Yeah.
And David had opportunity to take him out, but he would not do it. And the man who took credit for killing him, David had him killed.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't afraid to touch the anointed of God? And yet Saul had just sought an evil spirit, a familiar spirit. He was still anointed, but not inspired. And in the Psalms, you see David crying out, don't take your spirit from me. He didn't say a thing about anointing. Saul was always anointed. David didn't say, don't take the anointing from me. He said, don't take your spirit from me. Okay? And so it's important to understand the difference. And I'm not going to split hairs over words when people say, boy, he was really anointed today. I just think, I'm as anointed as I'll ever be any time of day. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. Because I know anointing sets you apart. But I also know that everything else is not automatic. You better be inspired. You better get before God. Just because you're set apart for God doesn't mean you're doing everything God wants you to do. You've got to get in the presence of God. You've got to get the mind of God. We need the inspiration of God. You may be anointed to preach, but what are you going to preach? Your message or God's message? You can come up with your own. But if you get before God, God will inspire you. Then that is far more impactful when you're speaking by the inspiration of God. You see the difference? And so they had to be properly attired, cleansed, before they were ever set apart through a consecration process. And the oil is poured upon them. All right, this is the anointed of God. Okay? When the Holy Spirit comes on a person and sets that person apart, they're the anointed of God. If you look at Psalm 105, where he talks about how God rebuked kings for, and he's talking about the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he says, "Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm." He's referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember what God told the king about Abraham? He's a prophet. And if you don't do what I'm telling you to do, then you're going to die. You follow? We get so confused on things because of what people, the way people use the word. And if you look at the definition of anointing or anoint, it's to rub or smear, whether you look at it in the Hebrew or the Greek. It's just rub or smear. Or you can anoint somebody with a salve. You're just rubbing it on them, you understand? And so you'll never get the definition, I mean, the meaning of the word out of the definition. It's to rub or smear. But what was the purpose of rubbing or smearing? It was to set apart. Set apart for God, set apart for healing, whatever the case may be. These men were set apart by God. But how many of you know that Nadab and Abihu died by God because of offering what the King James Version calls strange fire?
Mm-hmm.
They were anointed,
mm-hmm.
but they were not inspired. And God does not want flesh reaching back up to Him. God is not interested in flesh magnifying Him. Remember the young lady with the spirit of divination that mm-hmm. followed Paul around? These are men of the Most High God who've come to show us the way to salvation. Most of the people today would have thought, man, boy, man, listen to the Spirit of God. And finally, Paul got irritated with it and cast the devil out. He did not want the devil magnifying. You understand? I'm telling you, you better run from all this praise and applause and all that. And make sure we're not offering anything to the Lord that's not acceptable to the Lord. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're anointed doesn't mean you can do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're anointed to do God's thing, not yours. And so to do God's thing, you need to be inspired to do it. Amen? Okay?
Amen. Verse 8, "And thou shalt bring his sons and put coats upon them, and thou shalt gird them with girdles, Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, and thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons."
So Aaron's consecrated, and his sons are consecrated, the priest's attire is on them. And so it's a perpetual priesthood. God had that ordained. And so it passed from generation to generation, you understand, with Aaron's son. You had to be a descendant of Aaron in order to be priest. just because you were a Levite, just because you were the family of Kohath, didn't make you a priest. It was only Aaron's sons, his descendants. What's that pointing to? It's pointing to Jesus. We're kings and priests because we're in his family, and it's a generational thing from that perspective. It's handed down to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, not through your ancestral tree. Forget your natural ancestral tree. Trace your lineage to Jesus. Then you won't have a problem with generational curses. Because Jesus didn't have any. Whom the Son sets free is free. You understand? You don't have to worry about cleansing your blood. His blood's clean. His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And there's a lot of doctrine floating out right now that is dangerous. You better know the Word of God. Okay? So, these men are set apart to be priests. So are you, if you're truly born again.
And thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock. And thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation.
Now, after Aaron and his sons are consecrated, this young bull is to be brought to the door of the tabernacle meeting, and Aaron and his sons place their hands on it. Note this, they are identifying with that sacrifice, that substitute. Okay? So they're identifying with this bull that was to be killed before the Lord. Okay? So blood is going to be shed for them. The innocent for the guilty. Okay?
And thou shalt take the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar.
So the thing where they're going to sacrifice, the piece of furniture, if you want to call it that, had to be set apart too. What's setting it apart? Listen to this. The blood, and you're going to find out the oil. Mm-hmm. Okay? The blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. Those two things set you apart. You understand? This is what this is pointing to. Jesus the innocent dying for the guilty. He shed his blood for us. We identify with him just like Aaron and his sons had to identify with that innocent animal. Okay? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission.
Mm-hmm.
And so there has to be a shedding of blood. In the old covenant, it was cleansing and setting apart with the blood and the oil.
And thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards, and the caul that is above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and burn them upon the altar.
And so the fat that covered the internal organs of the animal, the upper lobe of the liver, the two kidneys, and the fat around the kidneys, were to be burned on the altar. I don't know all the significance of that, but I do know this, that the Lord said the fat, man was not to eat the fat. The fat belonged to the Lord. Well, I could look at that and don't you eat the fat of praise and all this other stuff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You give God what's rightfully God's, okay?
But the flesh of the bullock and his skin and his dung shalt thou burn with fire. With fire without the camp, it is a sin offering.
Take that flesh outside the camp and burn it. Don't offer it on the altar. God doesn't want your flesh. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
He wants that flesh burnt. Okay.
And thou shalt also...
I'm not talking about setting your body on fire. Don't mm-hmm. misunderstand me. I'm talking about carnality.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
And thou shalt also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram, and thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about upon the altar.
Here again, there was this protocol for this consecration. It was a bull, and now it's a ram. Blood is being shed. This was God's design. I don't know all the detail of all this, but I know the blood shed, and here again, they had to identify with that animal, okay? The innocent dying for the guilty, so to speak, okay? And so this blood is also used and, like the bull. So they took the internal parts, washed them, and laid it with the cut pieces and burned it on the brass altar as a sacrificial pleasant fragrance to the Lord. And this sacrifice was to be a burnt offering to the Lord. In other words, we're offering this to the Lord. Okay? It's a substitute. You're offering yourself to the Lord through this labor, through substitution, you understand?
Verse 19. And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. And thou shalt kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of their right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him, and he shall be hallowed, and his garments and his sons' garments with him.
So now they bring the second ram.
Mm-hmm.
And here again, they do the same thing. This ram's killed. They take some of the blood of the ram. Note this. Now they put this blood on the tip of the right ear, tip of the right thumb, the tip of the right toe. Okay? Now, note this is in consecration. This is in setting apart. And so, the big toe, I should say. And he was also to take some of the blood, sprinkle it on the brass altar, take some of the blood and the altar, some of the anointing oil, sprinkle it upon Aaron and his sons and their garments. And the procedure would consecrate Aaron and his sons and their garments. Now, this is an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here you have these elaborate garments and sprinkling blood on these garments. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Without the blood, there is no remission. Okay? So what's the significance of the blood on the ear and the thumb and the big toe? I believe it has to do with your hearing needs to be consecrated and set apart to God. To where you're not listening to the things of the world, you're listening to the Spirit of God. You're not following the counsel of men. You're following the counsel of God. What about your thumb? You're doing the works of God. You're not doing what pleases men, but what pleases God. Excuse me. And your toe, it's your walk. You walk the ways of God, not the ways of man. Okay?
Okay.
You follow all that?
Yes.
The divine protocol. We have to follow the protocol of God. And all these things are pointing to this new covenant that you are in, that's been accomplished through Jesus Christ. We're to hear Him. We're to work for Him. We're to walk with Him. We're to stay consecrated to Him with our mind set on doing the work of the Lord. Okay?
Very good. Verse 22. And thou shalt take of the ram of the fat, and of the rump, and the fat that covered the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, and the right shoulder, for it is a ram of consecration.
Here again, I don't know all the significance of this, but the fat tail, the fat that covered the internal organs, the upper lobe of the liver, and the two kidneys and the fat above them, the right thigh, were to be set apart. He said, this ram is for consecration. Then you set it apart. Why? Because God said so.
Mm-hmm.
Just do things God's way. That's the bottom line, okay?
You see the order in this. You know, the first animal that was offered was the sin offering, right? The sin has to be taken care of first, right? Just like we talked about with the flesh. You got to get that taken care of. And then the next animal that was offered was the consecration offering. And so there's purpose behind these offerings. And we can be quick to read over this because if you're like me, it's hard to relate to these sacrifices because thank the Lord, we don't do this. Jesus has taken care of this for us. But may we not miss out on the principles of God that's embedded in here for us that we're to glean from and live by. Got to take care of the sin before we can be separated.
Just remember this, the invitation of God is not the commission of God. A lot of people get that confused. And so we've got to fulfill all the requirements of the invitation before we're ever commissioned. Okay, our time's up, so we'll stop there. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. Amen. You guys have a great week.
Amen. Thank you.
Stay warm.